are starting the church and a worship, and it's so good to see everyone. Can you come back to your seats? I'm begging, just kidding. It's so good to see you all, and especially people who are visiting and people who haven't been here for a long time. Welcome back, family. Welcome back. Woo! And we just expect God here today. Amen. We know he's here with us every day, but when we gather together, there is so much power. When we gather together, there is so much more anointing. There is so much more presence because our faith joined together. Amen? So let's just be expectant. I just want to pray right now, okay? Can I do that? We're at church, right? We can pray. Lord God, I just release your presence right now, Lord. Your presence that brings peace, Lord. Your presence that brings healing. Your presence that brings comfort, God. Your presence that restores hope. Your presence that renews our joy, God. And I just pray, God, that your presence just will fall on us, Lord. Fall on us. Fall on us, God. We just connect our hearts to yours, God. We connect and we come with expectancy, God. We come, Lord God, with open arms, God. Here we are, Lord. Pour it out on us. Pour it out, God. We give you our full attention because you are worthy. Jesus, you are our hope of glory. You are our Prince of Peace. You are Emmanuel, God with us. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And we just pray for your manifested presence, Emmanuel, in us, through us, all around us. We joined our hearts together. We joined our faith together, God. We joined our praises together, God, to lift you up, Lord, to lift you up. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you. And we receive your love. We receive your love for us. We receive your pleasure, God. We receive your smile. Oh, Lord, bless us. Oh, Lord, turn your face towards us. God, be gracious to us and give us peace. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you, God. We love you. Amen. So good to pray together. Okay, let's see what do we have this week. We have Living Free Prayer Night. You know, you guys, last Tuesday with our youth, incredible young people, we did some, like, a little bit of refreshing what they learned, and they divided into two teams, and they were actually presenting what they learned in the class. And I was impressed, because sometimes you don't even know if they hear you, but they did. So it was awesome. I'm so proud of them. I'm just like, let's just keep praying that this truth will be cemented in them and becomes a substance. Amen? Okay, so this Tuesday, we are coming and we are praying for everyone, for adults and for our youth, what God is saying about them, how God sees them, and the truth of who they are. Amen? So prayer teams, you already probably got an email and a text from Marsha reminding you when to come. So let's just be expectant. God will speak through us and people will be set free and hope will be restored. My friend is taking a class. She sometimes visits our church. And oh my, she every time she's like, I am undone. God is doing something. I never knew this, and this gives me hope. This gives me hope, because truth not only sets free, but it gives us hope, amen? So let's come expectant. There is so much joy, people just walking in truth. Okay, and next thing we have, Women's Wednesday Bible Study. Sorry, I can't make it. I wish I could sip coffee with you guys and just study the Bible. But those of us who are available during the day, this is the time, 9:30 a.m. on Wednesdays at Starbucks, 106 in Pacific. So please come, enjoy coffee, enjoy sisterhood. Amen? Okay, and let's just stand and worship.
Amazing to see God at work in our lives. You know, every day we get attacked, either by feelings, our thoughts, and all over the place. You know, before I came to worship today, I fell down from my bathtub, and I felt like I was coming down with a strep throat. And my wife, she was feeling nauseated, and we were thinking, can we go to that Hawaii? I mean, it being feeling this way, and I realized this is part of the attack. It's attack. And I came to understanding that it doesn't matter how I feel. It really doesn't matter how you feel in every day. And sometimes when you wake up in the morning, when you know, maybe you feel like this, you feel like that. Maybe God is not first place of your life certain morning. But still, it doesn't matter. It doesn't change how God feels about you. How God loves you. Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is really a greatest expression of all time, how much God loves us. It is really amazing, amazing. You know, and I realize, Lord, I feel like, you know, sometimes crap, right? I say that, Lord, I don't feel well, but the gentle voice of God says, it's okay, I still love you. You know, he says, I got you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always have you. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter you get betrayed. It doesn't matter you get disappointed. It doesn't matter things in your life seems the way it is. Because God has your back. God's got you. That's why we are celebrating today. We're worshiping today. Don't look at the things of the world. Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at your situations or sickness or illness or feelings, because God's got you. By his stripe, what? We are healed. Ushers, please come. Let's really worship. And we're going to celebrate our victory, celebrate our healing, celebrate your happiness, celebrate. We are already a victor. Amen. We are victor. We are champions. Can we say that? We are champions. We are victor. We have already won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we want to praise you from the bottom of our hearts. We celebrate the victory we have already won. We believe from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, that you, because of you, we are victor. We are victorious because you are victorious. We are following your footstep, Lord. We want to praise you all the days of our lives. Thank you. Nothing can separate us from anything in the world. Whatever this world can throw at us, it doesn't matter because you still have our back. We praise you. Receive this offering, Lord, because every good things came from you, we confess. We celebrate you this morning, this afternoon. We love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome. You're welcome. Reign over us. Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Yeah, I couldn't tell. I'd be happy if I could sing that way when I'm well. Yeah, on a good day, let alone when I'm sick. So praise God. And Dave, is this the week you are leaving the country in order to come back into the country?
Yeah.
Can we pray for you quick before you scurry off? This has to do with our State Department. It has to do with, I don't know what, world governments, Hong Kong, where Dave is from, and his visa, basically. He's got to step out of the country to renew his visa to stay for the next 6 months or, okay. So that's not the best explanation. If you want the technical data, talk to him. But the bottom line is we need to pray that you don't get stuck. Yes, that's it, that he gets back in. He was going to go to Mexico, and I said, no, why don't you go to Canada? You'd rather be stuck there if you can't get back in. So anyway, I love I'm from Mexico, so I can say that. But yep. The point being, it's closer, too. It's only a three-hour drive. So, well, Lord, we pray for your supernatural provision. And, God, we know that you are an authority even over state departments. So, God, I pray that this goes smoothly for Dave, that he gets reentry. I thank you for his heart to serve. I thank you, God, for this divine appointment to even bring him here. So, Lord, we just pray for this week that everything goes smoothly. He's able to get this done quickly and efficiently and able to re-enter the United States. And, Lord, we're the benefits of that. So I confess it's a little bit of a selfish prayer, but, Lord, we lay that down and say, may your kingdom advance. We know Dave's a kingdom worker, and that's what we are partners in, and that's what we want to see. So, God, we just pray for this week in Jesus' name. And the whole church together said,
amen.
Amen. All right. We don't get too comfortable because you're going to have a little bit of heavy lifting to do here. But this is the calendar for this week. And Galia already announced it, but prayer teams, all hands on deck Tuesday. We really are going to need you. We have another team that is leaving this week, and so we're short of some of our usual suspects. So that means we need everybody that can to come lend a hand and help us pray for the Living Free Class Tuesday, which is there. It's always a blessing. It's a highlight. It's one of my favorite ministry nights in the whole world, and so I feel bad. I will not get to be here, but again, please. Hear the announcement, we need you Tuesday. So, we just got back from quite a whirlwind trip, and Dee Dee is in here, I know. Okay, Dee Dee, come on up. She agreed to give the report, and while she's coming up, let me remind you of this insert in your bulletin. Get your November calendars now, and it's gonna look something like this. It's just a sheet for you to put on your refrigerator door, because November for us is a real spiritual renewal month. And I want to talk about it just a minute, because I want you to use this month for spiritual renewal. But what I mean by that is God is moving, and maybe you've been putting off, a next step. I don't know what it is. Reconciling with somebody that you haven't talked to, quit smoking, I don't know what it is. But whatever that little spiritual transaction is that you've kind of put off, let's do it this month. There's going to be a momentum here. There's going to be a power. We're all in together. And that just creates a force. And I see God setting that up and ready. And I'm excited. I'm like, okay, God, I'm all in. This November, whatever it is, clean whiteboard, spiritual renewal. We have extra prayer times. That's for you to take advantage of. Whatever new habit you're trying to kick out, or old habit you're trying to kick out, you need a new habit to put in, like prayer. And so you won't be sitting home bored. You'll be able to say, hey, let's come in, and we got some extra prayer times and worship times. It's a full month, I understand, but we all need it. We all need that spiritual encouragement. So, oh, you got a microphone. Good. So, Dee Dee, I think I loaded a few pictures. Okay. There's your backdrop.
I guess I just am always amazed at how God uses me to bring people to freedom. So, a lot of freedom, a lot of strongholds set free, and so much happened. We were so busy, so it was overwhelming. But then I got back home and I'm sitting here thinking about everything that the Lord did while we were there. He just having me in a safe place. I received some pretty disturbing news while I was there, but being able to set people free, I was working on me as well. Quit smoking, came back. Brian had quit smoking too. We were just like, yeah, so that's deliverance. Like, I can't even believe how big that one is. So, yeah, just an amazing time, amazing people, amazing freedom, and always a privilege to be able to be used by God in a mighty way. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, Didi, I was very proud of the whole team. It was basically, I think I have a picture of, it was just four of us. And I don't know how many prayer times, but Marcia and Didi did 80% of the prayer times, and it was a crowd. It was a lot of people, and even friends and family of people that weren't in the school once they heard about the prayer started coming in. And so I was just really proud of the capacity you had to pray from morning to night, basically. That's what you were
pretty
doing.
Much, yeah.
Yeah.
Just when you think you got to know that, you're like, what else is there to say? There's so many, so much to say, and it's always different, and it's always God's voice that you're hearing, and it's always amazing.
Yeah. Well, amen. So I appreciate your leadership. Thank you for working so hard. 5 days, no day off. I mean, we hit the ground running, and
well, we were given lots of energy.
Well, they overfed us. They kept feeding us, I think, so we would pray more. But at some point, it was counterproductive. At some point, you're in a food coma, going like, "Huh, this is not helping." But I don't think I have been part. Actually, if I can back up, this is two of the schools. I know it looks like one picture. This is one school, this is another school, and this is another church. And I'm sorry, you really don't have time to take pictures. Literally, I took this picture right at the end of worship, and I was getting up to teach, and I just turned my phone around and went click. I didn't even see where I was aiming. It's just all the people behind me. So the schedule was really full, but once it started going in the week. Here's one of the prayer rooms. As it started ramping up in the week, and then we had a small English school. That's when word got out, and relatives and the school leader made a rule: you have to be within the family, like not cousins, uncles, like that. It has to be mother, father, brother, sister. And of course, she was telling me, yeah, people tried the, oh, well, she's like a sister. So, you know, there were some hard decisions to be made. But the point being, God did show up. And we're ordinary people. Yes. But the Lord used us to set captives free in a very dramatic fashion. And I want to say thank you to everyone here that pulled extra weight. Because I know there's always impact when we're gone. But we have such good leaders here, and the report came back. Just what a great week you had last week. So thank you, everyone, and thank you, Didi. All right, so that was last week in the books. We have one more ministry trip coming up, and this is the biggest school of the year for us. Over 75 students, 25 staff, so it's going to be over 100 prayer times. That's the minimum. From there, again, they have children, they have relatives, and so as time permits, we're actually taking three prayer teams. So will those prayer teams come on up, because we need prayer as we catch a plane tonight and head out. Yes, Pastor Michael, come on up. Cindy, yeah, I'm proud of this team as well. And let me sneak in one other tidbit as they're coming up here. I got a call from Makui Kawa Church. I got to learn how to say the name of their church before I preach there, you know. Makui Kawa Church. This is the oldest church in the Hawaiian Islands. The missionaries that got on a little ship, a brig named Thaddeus, and sailed around the Horn of South America, about a 5.5 month journey back then to get to what was called the Sandwich Islands. It's before it was named Hawaii. They started this church, and it's the church that we like to go to if we're there over a Sunday. And so I'm kind of a fan of this church. It's such a significant place in church history, you know. When Hawaii became a state in 1959, it was the most Christian state in the Union. And it was because of the work these missionaries had done. So they saw that I was going to be there over 2 weeks, and they called me and asked me to preach there next Sunday. So I feel like a kid, you know. I don't know what the feeling's like. Maybe if you're a baseball player, your first game in Yankee Stadium or something, you know, where it's just, you've heard about it, you've seen it, you know, but wow, you actually get to participate in there. So I'm asking prayer for this amazing team, because they have over 100 prayer times starting tomorrow. And then they'll come home, so they won't miss a Sunday, which is a blessing. Pray for Denise and her family, because a couple sick kids and husband just getting over sick, and she's still coming with us. So when mom's gone, I mean, I'll say no more, all right? If that doesn't motivate you to pray, I don't know what will motivate you to pray, all right? But pray for Jesus and all five kids, that they are safe and healthy and safe and healthy, all right? But so they'll come back Friday. Kathy and I are staying. And Sunday I'll be in Makui Kaua Church. And then next week they've asked me to do a second week on the Holy Spirit, which I have not done. But when you do a new course, it's a lot of work. And as I was praying personally, like, Lord, this is a bit much. I mean, I definitely felt like close to the edge, close to the limit of my capacity. But the Lord really encouraged me in this study and preparing all this material. And, you know, I pray that these schools will be blessed, but my heart is for us. And by the way, the only platform we have for all this kind of influence in the prayers that they do is you. Everywhere we go, it's real ministry done every day, every week, right here. So all that to say, I really think this November is going to be different. And the emphasis of the Holy Spirit is not an accident. The reason I've had to work on this for the last 2 months to prepare for the school, okay, great. You know, I pray it goes well. Please pray for Kathy and I that it does go well. But I think we're going to be the benefactors. I think in November, all that I've been working so hard to kind of, you know, lay out into a classroom type presentation. Wow, the Holy Spirit is really cool, you guys. And we're going to have fun in November. And I think there's a hunger in you, and that stirring that I've noticed, that's the Holy Spirit of God. And He has anointed you for such a time as this. And thank you for the extra patience and the extra care as we have a team traveling. But I think the Lord's setting something up, and He's setting it up for us. So we could be a little selfish and in November really enjoy what God is going to do to renew us, to re-energize us, to encourage us. So, all right, who's in here? John, I see you wandering around. Can you pray for us? Yeah, Jesus is probably gargling with throat relief. Yeah, salt water, I hope.
Hello? Okay, here we go. Okay, here we go. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving, thanking you for our team. Thank you, Father, that they represent us. They are one of us. They are our family. And so, Lord, we come before you and just thank you and bless your name, because not only are they one of us, but they're free. And not only that, they are giving and extending that freedom to more people. And Father, we bless that. We want more of that. We multiply that by 10. We say yes and amen. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you, Father, for this wonderful team. And we just lift up Jesus and the kids. Just ask your blessing upon them. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. Standing up here next to Cindy, this is her first trip, as she is officially retired, so now she can get on. Yeah, now she can get on with her real career, right? Yeah, really, the real work now begins, working for the kingdom of God. So that's a blessing that she gets to come. And Pastor Michael and Janet, this is their first trip? Okay. So I can't wait to see the faces because this is going to be a Korean school. They're all from South Korea, so it's all translated. They're not American Koreans. They are Korean Koreans. And I can't wait to see their faces when we introduce Pastor Michael and Janet as part of our church. They're going to like, what? So it's such a blessing that they can be on this trip. And, of course, it's a huge advantage in all those prayer times. It doesn't have to be translated because they're bilingual and they'll be able to pray in native Korean. And so God is providing through us, for us. So thank you, Lord. Well, I wanted to cover an important passage in the book of Acts for us, and this is Acts 19. And I am fully aware of a bit of controversy, and so theologically, if you disagree with me, can I tell you, that's okay. I love you. And I want to just bring out a few points that we have been looking at as we study the book of Acts. And that's, God, how do we spread the gospel? How do we see it go forward? And this morning up in pre-service prayer, John Selfers was reading to us out of Acts chapter 4, where thousands are added to the church daily. It's amazing. And it's like, okay, Lord, yes, that's what we want to see. And it's not about building a church. It's about seeing God's kingdom advanced. And our little pre-service prayer, it's always so super encouraging to me because, you know, you prepare a message and you're thinking about it and you're praying about it, but then I get confirmation. John had no idea, I don't think he had any idea what the sermon points are today, but that's one of the sermon points is that, wow, as we grow, as we progress, the real supernatural, the real miraculous, salvation. Where ordinary people that are just hell-bent on living their lives all of a sudden get interrupted and say, what about this God? Is he for real? If he is, I'd like to experience him. I think that is such a legitimate question. And in a sense, I experienced that transformation. My wife experienced it. Our marriage experienced it. Our family experienced it. And that's my heart for anyone that's in this room and future people that come through those doors. Not that they, you know, learn a program or get entertained by some really cool music and a message. No, that they experience God. Amen. And that we're not in the way. And that we don't distract from that. Because I believe that's what's happening. And I believe November is preparing us to care for real seekers, to care for real people like us, but have legitimate yearning in their heart, and they want to find out if this God is real and the real deal. So I kind of made the sermon title today, Getting Familiar with the Holy Spirit, because between Acts 4 and Acts 19 could be as much as 20 years. We kind of lose perspective of the span of time, you know, because you're marching through and you're reading it and you're studying it and yeah, okay. But these are long trips that these guys are going on, and travel was not like today. I mean, tonight I'm going to be in a 3-hour different time zone in the middle of the Pacific, and you know, modern travel is just that convenient. Not so in the first century. So, you know, we're marching through, we're reading through, amen, there's value to that, you get a big picture. But they're getting used to this partnership, I'm going to call it. I need to figure out the better word. But for now, let's just call it this partnership with the Holy Spirit. I feel we're in the same place. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't asking us to be robots. He's not, you know, asking us to just parrot everything he says word by word. There's this kind of friendship, like you would with somebody that loved you and somebody that you loved. You would probably talk things out. You would probably have different perspectives. But the more you talk, the more you would come to a oneness and a buy-in, especially in the heart issues. Well, as I am learning to walk with the Holy Spirit and trust the Holy Spirit, I think I started, well, I've gone up and down. I've been many times where I'm like, Holy Spirit, just tell me what to do. I don't want to think. I don't want to make a decision. Just give me the order. The Holy Spirit says, no, I'm not going to do that. Friends don't do that. Well, I want that. I'm asking for that. It's like, no, let's talk it out a bit. I don't want you to do it unless you want to do it. Well, I can tell you right now, I probably don't want to do it. So just tell me what to do. It's like, no, I'm patient. The Holy Spirit is so patient, so kind. You need to hear that. And you need to recognize the attributes of God's Holy Spirit. Goodness is listed in Galatians, where all the fruit is listed. You know, peace, love, joy. We always talk about that. I love that. But in that list, peace, love, joy, goodness. Isn't that interesting? God is good. And he wants to take time and care for us. So the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. So between Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 19, the gospel is growing. So we're going to start back on chapter 19, verse 1. And Apollos was another good teacher, good speaker. He was in Corinth. And, you know, I know the narrative follows mostly Paul, but you need to understand God is always moving and God is always doing things. And so this is a great example, and there's a lot that we can learn from this, but here's a little tidbit reminder, this isn't the only person God was using in a powerful way. So Paul traveled through the interior regions and reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers, and in conversation this comes up. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed, he asked them. No, they replied, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Isn't that interesting? Then what baptism did you experience is the question he asked, and they replied, the baptism of John, which this would be John the Baptist. Paul said John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in one who would come later, meaning Jesus. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And there were about 12 men in all. So this was a small group. They were somewhat an isolated group. And they had been devout followers of the way since what they heard initially was this guy, John the Baptist. So the biblical word used for them was disciples, what gets translated as disciples. But that just means a student, like you would go to school. And your teacher, it's almost a discipleship type relationship because you're saying, hey, what you know, teach me. And so they were disciples of John the Baptist. And they not only listened to his teaching, but they embraced it. They go, man, this sounds true. This resonates with me. This is more than just, you know, how to put together a model. This is life. This is I can tell you are representing God. But they had an incomplete understanding of the gospel. Though they were devout and they responded in humility, especially to the call to repentance, I mean, who does that, right? Usually people get kind of defensive, and usually, you know, people are like, oh yeah, I kind of like my sin. I'm not going to give that up. And so, hey, they were like, oh man, this is right. I can tell this is right, so I'm going to do it. And we need to know, and again, kind of get the perspective of time here. Paul would stay in Ephesus for about 3 years. And here's another point that we need to make, that even though they were devout, even though they were disciples, they had probably not experienced salvation. As we know from reading and in our Romans studies on Thursday nights, I picked this on purpose out of Romans, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God in you. This is cool. I mean, we've talked about this a lot. It's going to come back in November. We are just going to pound something, the pulpit over there. We got to walk over there to do it. But we're going to pound the pulpit that the Holy Spirit is in me. Crazy, but true. So I am going to live by this Spirit. Yes, the flesh is there too, and the flesh screams loudly and wants its way, but the flesh is not going to win. It is crucified with Christ. So again, that's a message for another time, but this is stuff that we talk about a lot, and we're trying to wrap our brains around and get this. But here in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "And remember that those do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all." So either you have the Holy Spirit or you don't, and that is what would translate, or what you and I would say, are saved or not. Here we have a group of people that are really good people. They're really devout, somewhat disciplined. Wow. But they haven't had this faith transaction. They haven't embraced, because partly they didn't know. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. So here they hear about this and they say, wow, we didn't even know about this. Which is kind of interesting, because John the Baptist talked plainly about the Holy Spirit. He said, hey, I baptize you with water, but there's a guy coming that's going to baptize you with fire. I mean, I'm talking Spirit. I'm not, you know, and I'm sure people are like, whoa, too much information. You know, wild guy. Don't you love John the Baptist? Am I the only John the Baptist fan in here? I mean, that guy lived out in the wilderness, camel hair suit. I mean, no, what? Camel hair, eat locusts. I mean, wild man. He's a wild man. And he's out there in the wilderness. And by the way, crowds were coming out there. This was not convenient. This was not like, what time is church again today? What time is the Seahawks game today? I mean, no, this is like, you got to be kidding. I got to trample out there in the wilderness to this Jordan River and listen to this guy scream. Man, I don't know if I want to do that. Is there coffee and refreshments afterwards? Okay, well, you'll get coffee and refreshments after today, so hang in there. But yeah, they were going out there. Listen, I don't want to get off topic here, but here's a little bit that I think you can relate to. We know from studying history that between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament, meaning when Christ showed up, it was a really quiet 400 years. That is a long time. Now, yes, God was still moving, but there wasn't miracles, there wasn't signs and wonders, there wasn't a prophet in the land. So all of a sudden, and by the way, everybody heard the stories. Okay, sound familiar? Can you relate to that? I know I can, maybe because I've studied the stories, but I'm like, God, even 100 years ago in our country, Gee, first great awakening, second great awakening, Azusa Street, in our state, John G. Lake. God, this stuff happens, and it happens right here. I've heard the stories. I want to see it in person. God, I'm saying no more stories. I want this. You need to know God works in history this way. And people, after 400 years, great-great-grandpa or whoever would tell them stories, no longer alive, and they hear a story that sounds familiar. And they go, you know, that's worth checking it out. This might be like some of the things I heard about. Well, church, be ready, because that's where we are right now. And we have experienced some really cool things, but I feel that I'm responsible in saying this. You haven't seen nothing yet. Amen. There is more coming. Just like in the time of John the Baptist, just like in the time of Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 19, there is more for us. I can guarantee you these guys wandering around here don't have this yearning just because they're students of history. They have this yearning. You have this yearning. I have this yearning because the Spirit of God lives in you. And the Spirit of God wants to release this again. The Spirit of God wants to see this even more than you and I want to see it. Listen, there is an instant uniting and community because of the one Spirit. Now, if you were following what I just read in Acts, this is an amazing meeting. Paul meets these dozen people, and they kind of said, hey, you know, we are followers. And he says, great, you know, have you received the Holy Spirit? They're like, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. They don't remember that from the ministry of John the Baptist. And remember, John the Baptist spoke of the Holy Spirit, but his baptism really pointed to a coming event. It was pointing to the future. Our baptism, as we still practice this, and we'll have a baptism service in November. So if you haven't been baptized and want to be, let us know, and we'll make sure that happens. But our baptism points to a past event. It was the same event. It was the power of Jesus Christ and the gospel. It was the good news that God had provided a way to reconcile man with God. That is the gospel. And baptism represents, hey, we're separated because of our sin, but God has figured out a way to wash us clean. He paid the penalty for that sin that we're guilty of himself. Wow. Now I am washed clean of my sin. If I'm willing to give up this life, if I'm willing to die to this flesh, raise up in resurrection power, just like Jesus did when he was put to death, and now be united with him. And his Spirit, his Holy Spirit, lives in me. Listen, this is important theology. This is Scripture defining Scripture. This is Ephesians 4. For there is one body, one Spirit, and just as you have been called into glorious hope for the future, there is one Lord, one faith, and this is the point that you need to understand, one baptism. This is the only place in Scripture, by the way, where we see anyone being rebaptized, but it's because they happen to live right after. They lived here and they lived here, and they didn't experience this, but they didn't experience that. But that is not setting a precedent. That is not saying, okay, you know, keep getting dunked over and over and over. No, you know, we do that to signify what God has done in us as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a believer that he died and his payment for our sin washed us clean. And by the way, that payment is not, oh, another sin, another payment, another sin, another payment. No, it is a one for all payment. One covered people in the past, people at the present, covered that Roman centurion that was nailing a spike through Jesus' flesh, covers me. 20 centuries into the future, covered by this amazing payment. That's how you and I get baptized. And Jesus taught very plainly on this. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Jesus was starting to prepare the disciples. I have to leave you. It's necessary that I leave you. And they go like, hey, where are you going? He says, no, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. I love that verse. That actually gives me peace as a teacher and a pastor. I mean, even last week, three classes I'm teaching, which it was hard for me to keep track of, okay, which class is this again? I mean, you know, by the end of the week, you're getting a little tired. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, I know you're the one that's leading these students in all truth, not me. And it was kind of interesting because the last couple of nights, I had students from earlier in the week. They knew I was still there, and they came and double dipped. They came and heard the same presentation to the other school. And I'm like, hey, aren't you the English students? What are you guys doing here tonight? And they go, well, we heard that you were teaching again, so we thought we'd come hear it again. And they go, by the way, you taught them differently than our class. I'm like, snagged, right? I found out. I'm like, oh, sorry about that. Part of that was I just got to trust that the Holy Spirit says, put that here and not here. And, you know, even though it may be same material presented three times in a row, I am really working hard that, Holy Spirit, you edit. You put in what you want in, take out what you want out. I may think it's clever, I may think it's interesting, but Holy Spirit, if you disagree, let's talk. And I'm definitely willing to come to that mutual agreement. And so, yes, it could be very different, same stuff presented. All right, so this is a real insight to the Holy Spirit here, what we see happening here in Acts 19. Because these were good guys, they were willing to repent, but they had no understanding of God's Holy Spirit. And so if you look at a quick survey of just the book of Acts, you'll realize that sometimes people receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, and we saw that in chapter 2 and chapter 8 of the book of Acts. Sometimes they receive the Holy Spirit after they are baptized. In Acts 14, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. They had already been baptized. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to help you understand this, and I'm going to back up here because, it's this point right here. There is an instant uniting and community because of the one Holy Spirit. So lock that into your mind just for a minute, and let me get back to where I was here. Remember here, in Samaria, this is the first time Jews wandered into Samaria. This is like crossing the railroad tracks to the wrong side of town. These are people that we actually hate and have a long record of them hurting us, us hurting them, and back and forth. Hatfield-McCoys type deal. So when a few disciples get sent out of Jerusalem, they actually come back and say, you know what, Samaritans are receiving the gospel. That was hard to believe. And so, you know, you got to go back to Acts chapter 8 to remember this. And so that's when I'm convinced that Peter and John said, we got to go check that out. And the second they checked it out, wow, it's true. These guys really are believers in Jesus Christ. But they haven't received the Spirit yet, so we're going to do our little part, and we're just going to pray that over them. And there's instant community, instant validation, instant verification for these disciples that have never seen this before. And within their worldview, it was going to be hard for them to believe. But now, right in front of them, they have irrefutable evidence Oh, yeah, this is the Holy Spirit. And by the way, sometimes before baptism, the Holy Spirit comes on people. In Acts 10, if you remember, can anyone object to their being baptized now that these Gentiles, uncircumcised believers, now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So in that case, the Holy Spirit came first, and then they were baptized. I build this case to make this point. There's no formula here. And I know that people have built whole theologies and formulas. Okay, well, you got to do this baptism. I wish. It doesn't work. This is a heart condition before God. If you weren't baptized the right way or the right time or whatever, but you had the heart to say, God, I receive your cleansing, done deal. Thief on the cross did not have a chance to get baptized, but Jesus looked him in the eye and promised, today you will be with me in glory. So I want to do this little extra teaching here because I understand what's out there. But again, it's not that simple. For us, it has to be a heart condition. For us, it has to be a step of obedience when we get baptized. And by the way, it's a pleasure and honor to do that. But there is one baptism. And as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now, there did seem to be like, okay, well, Paul lays hands on him. Well, that doesn't happen every time. Yeah, and by the way, Paul may not have been the guy even baptizing him. He may have just laid hands on them to pray for them. And it's the prayer that did it. And then that's what manifests. I mean, and again, people read scripture and they go, oh, well, here's the formula. No formula. We must be Holy Spirit led, not formula led. I mean, I like formulas just as much as anyone else does. And I've tried those formulaic relationships with God. And it's like, okay, God, if I do this, you do that. Like, no. No. No formula. Relationship. Okay, God, well, you did it that way last time, so I'm just going to do it the same way. No, that's not trust. You're not trusting me. You're not listening to me. You're just parroting back the formula. You're just doing, yeah, it did work last time, but it worked only because your heart was in the right place. Get your heart in the right place again. I don't want to do that. That's too much work. I'd rather do the formula. I'd rather, you know, up, down, turn around, great. No. God has a different agenda than us, and it's a relationship on the heart level. Now, something else happened. Not only was there evidence that they received the Holy Spirit, but they started speaking in what I believe here is the spiritual gift of tongues, different than Acts 2, which is a gift of languages. All right, in Acts chapter 2, they were speaking in languages that people that were there understood. It was their native language. That is a different gift than we see happening here. And I wanted to make the same point that I made about baptism, about the gift of tongues. Now I wish, and this is out of 1 Corinthians 14:5. And I know we've talked about this before, but let's refresh real quick. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. That means that all of us don't. Even your leaders in this church, some do have this gift. Some don't. I'm one of those that do not have this gift yet. Marcia taught me to say that. Say yet. Oh, amen. I do not have it yet. But again, you'll see this in Scripture. Not everyone has it. Is it cool? Yeah, all the gifts are cool. All of them are cool. Well, in Corinth, were they struggling with this? Well, apparently they were. Apparently they were elevating one gift and diminishing the rest. We kind of do that as human beings. We need to elevate all the gifts without diminishing any of them and be okay that you're going to have different gifts than I have. I'm going to have different gifts than you have. But guess what? That's why we are the body. Together, we have all the gifts. Together, every boat rises when the tide comes up. So that's what we're trying to live out as the body of Christ. But even more, he says, but I wish you all had one spiritual gift. But even more than that, I wish that you would all prophesy a different spiritual gift. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues. So Paul is actually in his teaching emphasizing one gift over another. And in this case, it happens to be what we emphasize here, and that is the gift, the spiritual gift of prophecy. And I'm going to give verse 1, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, but let's build the foundation with verse 1. This is very important to us. Let love be your highest goal. Every time I talk about spiritual gifts, we tend to focus on the gift and forget about the gift giver. Yeah, I get it. I tempted that way too, because the gifts are so cool. But that's not God's agenda. God's agenda as the gift giver, you're going to have this gift. There's a reason you're having this gift, mostly because you need it, and you're going to need it to build my kingdom. It's not for you. It's not so you can think you're more spiritual than everyone else. So I'll give you this gift, but please remember me, the gift giver. I want to have this relationship with you. So this is important for all our prayer teams. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the gift gives. So don't throw a baby out with bathwater. Don't say, all right, well, since I don't speak in tongues, nobody's speaking in tongues. No, you can speak in tongues. Yes, that's a very cool gift, but not all of us have that. Prophesy, absolutely. We're going to welcome all the gifts right here. Is that crazy? Probably. Is that messy? Well, look up my message on messy church. Yeah, it's messy, but we're not intimidated by that. That's okay. The Lord will help us clean up the mess. All right. But we want all the gifts, the special abilities. This is a New Living Translation, but this is what gets translated. All the gifts the Spirit gives are spiritual gifts, especially the ability to prophesy. And here's a point of Acts 19 and a point why I talked about these things. Because listen, sometimes we all need re-strengthening. I forgot to mention that this is a beginning of a third missionary journey. That's why you need to know there's a span of time here. And some of the places that Paul is revisiting were places that accepted the gospel and have been following Christ for some years now, but he's revisiting them, and it's for this reason. Man, yeah, sometimes we need encouragement. God's not obligated. He doesn't have to do that, but I'm so grateful he does, because I know I need it. And if I need it, I would suspect that probably all of us at times need it as well. And hopefully that's the environment we have here, that hey, when you're weak, somebody else is strong. Let them bless you. Let them care for you. Because next week it's going to be role reversed, right? And you're going to be the one that needs strengthening, or you're going to be the one giving the strengthening. So this is the Holy Spirit encouraging, and I believe that's why we prioritize this gift of prophecy, is because that's how you deliver that encouragement. Galea, you know, works on us saying this. We are prophetic encouragers. You know, you may think, well, I don't know how to encourage. Listen to the voice of God. Let that flow through you and be a prophetic encourager. All right. So we're moving on. I'm going to go through this story really quickly. It's one of my favorite stories in the book of Acts. But Paul went to a synagogue, and he's preaching boldly for next 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. And I know New Living says arguing here, but this is a debate culture, and they're really used to discussing. Again, I think love is the highest goal. Paul also wrote that. So don't hear that and go, oh, it sounds like he's cranky. Nah, you know what? I think he loved them so much, I want you to get it. Have you ever been in that kind of a correspondence? You love somebody so much, they're being a knucklehead, and you're going like, ugh, let me get it in your face. I love you so much, I'm going to disagree with you. I love you so much, I'm going to hang in here, and for 3 months, I'm going to persuasively talk to you because I don't want to give up. I love you that much. I think that's what's going on right here. Exactly that. All right, but some became stubborn, bummer, rejecting the message and publicly speaking against the way. And I underline the way because we use the term Christianity or Christians. That term came later. They didn't know what to call these guys. Jews for Jesus, I guess. They said, hey, they're followers of the way. And so that was the first century term. Paul left the synagogue and took believers with them. Listen, there is a point to leave, but you need to understand right here and now that this was not an easy decision. This was after months of trying. This was after investing and loving and trying every way to make people understand. You know what? People today leave a church way too easy. You know, someone parked in my spot. Someone offended me. That's it? Did you go back? Did you persuasively convince them and love them and let them know